Well, the scene we are going to look at this morning is a special one. It takes place on a Thursday night in an upstairs room, a secluded setting with Jesus and his disciples. It is the last night that Jesus spends with his disciples before he is arrested early Friday morning. They celebrate the Passover together, their last meal together. And of course, the disciples are unaware of that. They don't know that this is their last meal with Jesus. And we can tell that somewhat by what happens that evening. But this is their last time together, and Jesus is aware of that. Jesus knows that his hour is approaching. He mentions that several times in this section of Scripture we're going to look at in John 13. Well, I've asked this question before, but I'm wondering again, how would you spend your last evening with friends and family if you knew this was your kind of last special time together? How would you spend it? What would you do? What would you talk about? Would you talk about the weather? You talk about who's going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know. What would you talk about? What would you do? Would you play games together? I'm assuming that would look different probably for each of us as well, how you would spend that time if you knew that this was your last time with friends and family. I got a little sense of this when I went to the airport about a week ago to say goodbye to my daughter, Larissa. I think I have a picture of that. And I was noticing as we, you know, you go as far as you can with somebody up to that security checkpoint, and then they don't allow anybody past there, and they have these guards, you know, that look really scary, and so you don't even try. But I was kind of watching as people were coming through, and it was interesting. People would come up to that point, and then what would they do? Well, there were some goodbyes that would happen. You would see a lot of hugs and kisses and I love yous and some tears as well, I noticed, as people, I don't know if it was going to be probably a lengthy separation that they were looking at. And I had to think, too, not to be morbid, but there's always a possibility that one time will be the last time that you will talk with that person or say goodbye to them. It will happen to all of us. If you think about it, it will happen to all of us in our relationships. There will come a point where it will be that last time, either for you or for them. And so, yeah, how do we think about that when our relationship with people, we think, go through life thinking, you know what? What if this was the last time that I saw them? What would I say? How would I spend that time? Well, Jesus knew that this was it. He had spent 3 years with them, teaching them, training them, preparing them for this time, and now the hour had come. I want to read the first part of this scripture, John 13. You're more than welcome to follow along if you would like. I'll have it up here in front as well. But John 13, verses 1 to 5, we're going to start there. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Well, we see as Jesus approaches really his time of most desperate need, he focused in on his disciples. It's an interesting thing for me to think about. I don't know if I caught that as strongly as I did this time. He knows what's coming. His disciples are unaware. But he doesn't really draw attention to himself, does he? But he focuses on them. They're oblivious to the hour at hand, but he loved them, as Scripture says here. He loved them to the end. And this is a picture of his love, not only for his disciples, but for you and for me. This gives us a picture of the kind of love that Jesus has for each of us. And that's the first thing that I want to look at, is this love that Jesus has for us. Jesus loves you. We've sung that song, many of us, from childhood, and maybe it loses its meaning in some way. But I want to capture it anew today, to think of how much Jesus loves you. I want you to think about that. And the first word that comes to mind, I have it up here already, is the word unconditional. What does his love look like? It's an unconditional love. And we see some of that coming through here. If you look at Judas, Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, didn't he? He already knew what was going to happen. What is going through his mind as he washes Judas' feet? It's an amazing thing for me to think about, that he washed Judas' feet. And as you think of the things coming ahead, and I'm sure Jesus knew of some of these things that were coming ahead, the time of prayer that he had in the garden, some of his darkest points of anguish for Jesus in his soul. And what do the disciples do? They fall asleep several times. He comes back, wakes them up again. And then when the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, his disciples scatter out of fear. They abandon him that evening. And Jesus knows of these things that are coming. And what does he do? But he washes their feet. He serves them. I don't think we grasp the love of Christ until we understand some of the dynamics of this evening, what things were happening this evening. Luke records, if you look at the account in Luke, he records that during this very meal, the disciples were once again arguing. About what? What were they arguing about? They were arguing about who was going to be the greatest. This isn't the first time that they were arguing about this. This very meal, they're arguing about who is going to be the greatest in this kingdom that they were envisioning that Jesus was going to set up. But here we have Jesus doing what? Washing their feet. I don't know if this argument took place before. It's not real clear to me, before or after. Either way, it doesn't seem to fit real well with the evening. Jesus washes their feet. Through all of this, he loves them. It says to the very end. He loves them to the very end. He had been through thick and thin with them. He had seen them take steps of faith, and he'd also seen them fall flat on their face in disbelief and unbelief. But he loves them to the end. His love is not based on their maturity, obviously. His love is not based on their sensitivity to his needs. His love is not based on their obedience. Because here they are, arguing with each other. His love is not based on their great understanding of the situation. He keeps loving them. And as he has all along. And he does the same for you and me. Don't you find that amazing? You know how you are, and I know how I am. And there are days where I am not at my best. And Jesus loves me. Think of that. He loves me anyway. Even when, maybe I haven't treated my wife very well that day. Or my kids. Or maybe I'm having a bad attitude about somebody. But Jesus loves me. And he washes my feet. Isn't that amazing to you? It's amazing to me that he keeps loving us. Even in the midst of these things that we do, we betray him in ways, we abandon him in ways, we disobey him. He loves us. And he will never abandon us. He will never leave us. He will love us to the very end. His love is not conditional. And our love is very often conditional. It's based on how people respond to us. It's based on whether we like people. And we like to give it, and then we like to take it away when people don't meet our expectations. That's not the way Jesus' love was. The second thing that I see in this passage, you might find it a little strange, but I think it's an important point, is that Jesus' love was confident. He was not insecure. He knew exactly who he was. The scripture says he knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. He knew who he was. This was not an act of insecurity. This was not an act to manipulate them in any way. He was secure. He was confident in his call and who he was. A very important thing, I think, for us to grab a hold of. Jesus was confident. And out of that confidence, he did what? He washed their feet. He wasn't necessarily confident in the disciples' ability by themselves, but his confidence was in God the Father. And he saw what God the Father was going to do also through these ordinary, common men. He knew what was going to happen with them. And he says in this passage, he said, you don't even understand what I'm doing right now, but someday you'll understand, but not right now. It kind of reminds me a little bit of back when 9/11 occurred. And I remember going home and sitting in front of my TV just watching these events unfold and just not believing what I was seeing. And my kids were pretty young back in that day. Were kind of milling around playing and having just a great time. And I wanted to just take them and say, don't you guys know what is happening here? How can you just play and act like this is just like any other day? But they're just children. They didn't know the significance of that event. But I knew someday they would understand the significance of that. But it wasn't going to be that day. I had to let that go and realize someday they will mature, someday they will be at a different point where they'll understand these kinds of events and how significant they are. Made me think of that a little bit. Jesus' love was confident. It was out of this confidence that he was able to love them freely and unconditionally. And the last point I want to make here is that Jesus' love was humble. This picture of love is incredible to think about, foot washing. We don't think about it much these days because it's not a common practice in our culture to wash feet. But back in those days, you wore sandals. And you walked almost everywhere. Not on nice paved paths, but on dusty roads. And so it stood to reason that these dusty, dirty, sweaty feet needed to be washed often. Now this task was one of the most demeaning tasks of that society. It was typically left to household slaves to wash people's feet. The disciples would probably not have even considered ever doing this. Especially in regards, you know, if we look at their arguments about who was to be the greatest. I don't think during that argument that they were considering who is going to be the one to wash everybody else's feet. I don't think that was entering into that discussion. They weren't thinking that way. And so I don't think it even occurred to them that they should do this. But here, Jesus, in great humility, stoops to do something that is the most demeaning task in that society. It reminded me, Doris, do you have a tissue if you could bring me one? It reminded me of back in my days when I graduated from college. And I don't know, some of you that have graduated, thank you. Some of you that graduated from college, you know, you kind of go through school and you come out just thinking that you're going to take the world by the tail, you know. Got this degree and, you know, all your friends, my friends, were getting these great jobs and pretty high-paying jobs. One went to work for AT&T, another, I forget, went to work for IBM. And I thought, man, where am I going to end up? I'm going to make a difference in these companies, you know. Thought I was going to end up in Colorado somewhere. That was kind of my dream of where I was going to live. I had thoughts about where my life was going to go. And it took me a while to find a job. I didn't find one as quickly as some of my friends. They had graduated a term ahead of me. And so I was a term behind. I got separated from a group that I was with because I took a term off to get married, which was well worth it. But it did separate me from my friends who graduated earlier. And so it took me about 3 months to find a job. And finally I found a job, a very small company in Columbus. Not the greatest part of town, McKinley Avenue, if you're familiar with where McKinley Avenue is. And started working there. And I remember, I don't know the details exactly, but I remember, I don't know, several months after I was working there, the president of the company, we had a problem out front of the building there because there were a lot of geese that would come out and they would poop on the sidewalk. And so it was just kind of a problem. And one day, the president of the company phoned down to my boss and said, I want you to have Rob go out there and clean that off the sidewalk. And I heard that and I thought, what? I have a bachelor's degree in electronics engineering technology. How could you expect me to go out and clean that off the sidewalk? You must be kidding. I had an attitude about it, and I don't even know what I said. I must have said something to my boss. I didn't do it. Not right away, anyway. And I don't remember what happened, but somehow my attitude got back to the president. And he came down and talked to me, and he said, he used a little colorful language, but he said, I own this company, and you work for me, and you will do whatever I tell you to. And I said, yes, sir. And I went out and I cleaned that poop off the sidewalk. But I learned a lesson there. I learned a lesson. You know, we are never above anything. That we should always be willing to do even the most demeaning tasks in life. It's just pride that bubbles up in our lives that we think it's about us. And then we think we're something, you know, and some of these things are just below us to do. It's not true. And Jesus broke through all of that. He just shattered. He shattered all of their ideas, I think, about what was going to happen in the future. And they're looking at him saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Imagine their shock and ours as Jesus gets up. I think I have a picture here. Yeah. As Jesus gets up and begins to perform this menial task, here is Jesus, their teacher, their leader, the Son of God, washing their dirty, dusty, sweaty, stinky feet. I mean, feet just stink. I mean, that. I think they're kind of gross in some ways. They just, when you have teenagers, Anyways, I should probably not go. Remember that Jesus is confident in who he is, his power, his authority, his position. He is confident. He knows exactly who he is and what he came to do. And here he is stooping down to wash their dirty, grimy feet. Does it seem that the roles are reversed? Are you beginning to understand the great love of Jesus for the disciples and for you? This does not typically fit our understanding of leadership, of power, of authority, or of greatness, but this is how Jesus defined it. So the question that we need to look at is, what is our response to it? What is our response? Well, if we look at the next part of the passage, Peter is not going to have any part of this. And so let's read that together here, the next passage. Verse 6, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you will have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, not everyone was clean. I want to stop there. There's a lot that we could talk about in this section. And I wish we had more time to do so. But I want to stay focused on the main theme of what I think is the main theme of this story. I love Peter because he isn't afraid to say what everyone else is thinking. You know, he always seems to pop up with things like this. And you know everybody else is thinking it. There's always somebody in the crowd who's willing to say it. Well, not always, but often. And Peter was that guy. He's saying what everybody else is thinking. And I can just see Peter kind of seeing Jesus coming around. And as Jesus gets close to him, he starts looking down at his feet and thinking, man, I should have washed them earlier. They're really grimy. And I can smell them. And Jesus is going to wash that. I can just kind of see Peter thinking that going through his mind. It simply cannot happen. How could Jesus, his Lord and Master, place himself in such a demeaning and humble position? Jesus gently and patiently corrects him once again. And what is Jesus saying here? Well, he says a lot, but I'm going to try and summarize what I believe he's saying. He's saying that we are completely dependent on him. We are completely dependent on our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, in order to be clean. We have a picture already here of what is going to happen, the cleansing that will happen through Jesus' blood on the cross. Only through Jesus can we be made clean. There's nothing that we can do to fix this mess that we've made of our lives. But God needed to come to us. He needed to enter into our mess and to make us clean. That there is no other way. And he makes an indication here, a separation too, between most of the disciples and Judas. He says, not all of you are clean, for there's one among you who isn't clean. Because we have most of the disciples who believed in who Jesus was. They were believers, but Judas was not. And so that's why he said, there's one among you who isn't clean. Well, what is our response to this? How should we respond to the love of Christ? Well, the first thing I think that we need to do... Oh, yeah, I brought in a Legos picture. I forgot. This is how it looked in modern day, the foot washing, in case you were wondering. But the first thing we need to do is to accept his love. We must accept this gift of outrageous love with all humility and understanding of what it cost Jesus. It isn't right that God himself had to stoop down to wash our feet. And we recognize that. It's completely undeserved by us. But it is an amazing love that changes us forever. And I'm wondering, do you understand his love? And hopefully this picture gives you a better understanding of the love of Jesus for you. Do you understand it? Have you accepted it? Have you released your mess to him to wash you clean? Do you humbly, with tears, see Jesus washing your feet? Can you see him doing this to you? Because that's what Jesus is doing to us. Every time we sin, confess it to him. Jesus is washing our feet. That's what it's like. Can you see that? Have you accepted his love? Let's finish with the last few verses here. Verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. And the second thing that we're called to do is to love one another. Jesus showed his great love to them, and we are called to show this love to one another. Jesus is calling each of us to this. As followers of him, will you show love to one another? This kind of love that Jesus showed to them. Will you wash each other's feet? Will you love them unconditionally, confidently, and humbly? What does this look like? What does this look like to wash each other's feet? Does it mean participating in a foot washing ceremony? I've seen some very meaningful foot washing ceremonies. In fact, I was looking on the internet under this, and I found a YouTube video of a small group of believers gathered in a house, and there were two young men who were being sent out. It just reminded me of Acts, the story of Acts. And they had a time of worship and prayer, and then these two men took a bowl of water and a towel, and they went around to the rest of their friends that they were leaving, and they washed their feet. It was an amazing thing to watch. As these people cried together as a family, they sent them out. So I've seen some meaningful foot washing ceremonies. But is that what Jesus is asking us to do? Is he instituting foot washing for the 21st century Americans? I don't think necessarily. There's really no evidence in the New Testament that the early church actually observed this ceremony. I think it can be meaningful, but I think it goes way beyond this act of foot washing. So I want you to think with me. Let's translate this. Let's do the hard work of translating this into our world. And that's where this Lego picture was supposed to be. But it isn't. I must have them out of order. Well, let's translate this. What does it mean for us to wash each other's feet? And I want to go back to the points that I made in observing what Jesus did and how he did it. And the first question I have is, will you love unconditionally? Will you care for each other, even when you don't feel cared for? Will you forgive each other, even when you don't feel that maybe the person who offended you deserves to be forgiven? Unconditionally. That means no conditions. Will you seek to listen and understand, even when others appear to maybe ignore you or misunderstand you? Will you look at your position of leadership, of responsibility, of authority that you have as an opportunity to serve, to wash those people's feet who are under you, supposedly, that you're responsible for? Will you love with confidence like Jesus? Are you confident in who you are in Christ? Are you confident in His call on your life and what He's asked you to do? And so you approach relationships that way. You're not easily offended by people because you're confident in who you are in Christ. You can celebrate another's good fortune because you're confident in who you are in Christ. You don't allow comments or criticism to give you an attitude. And then will you love with humility? Are you willing to do the most demeaning acts of kindness for others? In fact, if you think about the people around you, this body of believers here, are you willing to care for them? Do you know what is happening in their lives? The person beside you, the person in front of you, behind you, do you know the struggles that they have? And are you part of this body of believers who is caring for each other and carrying each other through those difficulties, washing each other's feet? Are you part of that? Will you stick with each other and love each other like Jesus did here, as described, to love to the very end? There's a scripture in this same chapter, skip ahead a little bit, that brings focus on this same theme. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Do you understand the depth of the love of Christ for you? Have you humbly accepted His gift? Are you washed clean by the Savior? It is the only way, it's really only when we surrender to His love that we can be an expression of that love to others. It's only when we understand it and submit to that love that we can actually be a conduit to other people in our lives. The world will know we are all followers of Christ, not only by our love for them, but by our amazing, unconditional, confident, humble love for each other. They will see us wash each other's feet, and they will be amazed, just as the disciples were amazed by Jesus' actions. I want to close by reading this familiar scripture together, 1 Corinthians 13. It's just a focus for us as we try and sort out for ourselves, what does it mean for me today to wash someone else's feet, whether it be my husband or my wife, my children or my friends, my neighbor. I don't know who it is or who God brings to mind for you, but what is it that God is asking you to wash someone else's feet today, this week, the coming weeks to come here? So let's read this together. Let's read out loud together. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the reminder of your great love that you have shown to us. And Lord, I know that we just understand small parts of it, really. I pray that each day would be a day that we understand it more, that we experience it more, that we rest in it more, that we trust in it more, that we put our faith and our hope in it. Lord, help us to understand it. And then out of that, Lord, help us to be an instrument of your love to each other, to care for each other, to wash each other's feet. Help us to understand how to do this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Rob, for that challenge. Couldn't help but think of the kind of parallel or a contrast in Rob's story about his employer, the president of the company coming in, and you know that's the way of the world. The top dog comes in and says, "Listen, you work for me. This is what you're going to do, and you go do it." And the contrast between that and how Christ, the kingdom of God, you know, I can imagine the employees all sitting around the break room table kind of arguing, okay, I'm a little higher up in the totem pole. I'm not going to be the one cleaning up the geese droppings. You are. And then the president of the company goes out there and cleans it up. That's what Christ, the way of Christ. And that's the model that we are to follow to be servants. So thanks, Rob, for that challenge. We've come to our time in the service where we'd like to join you in praying about the items, any items you have that you want us to pray with you about, or if you have a praise report, something you'd like to share, I invite you to do that at this time.